Okay, good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayor. We're discussing the subject of Ratzoni. The question we left off was, how does a person have the ability to develop Ratzon for himself? Meaning, you have a person listening who understands the power of Ratzon for the first time in his life. He gets it. But in reality, Ratzon is something you have to have. It's not something you learn and all of a sudden you have it. So the person will say, I don't have Ratzon. I hear, I understand how important it is. I'm just lacking the Ratzon for the meaningful things of life. So what am I supposed to do? That is the question. Before I answer that question, I just like to alert you about a certain mistake that is possible to make when listening to these classes. There is a saying that says, "En davar haomed b'fnei haratzon," which means that nothing stands in the way of Ratzon. Nothing stands. That means if you really want something, you've heard that, you're going to get it. So the truth, we have to be very, very exact, that those words do not show up in the words of Hachamim. Those are not quotes of a pasuk. It's not a Gemara, it's not a Mishnah, it's not a Midrash. There is no such statement. Now, it's important to know that, because whatever we learn, before we could say things, even though they sound beautiful, but they have to have a source in the Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebaal Peh. This statement does not exist. There's no such statement. That there's nothing that stands in the way of Ratzon. There are other statements like Bederech she'adam rotzeh lelech molichim oto, where a person wants, they take him. Zohar says, kol milin de alma lo talyan ela bere'ota, which means whatever happens to a person is dependent on his Ratzon. Another statement, Masechet Shabbat, haba letaher, mesayin oto. Someone who comes to purify himself, they will assist him. So there are statements that are very important and seem to be saying close to that statement, but that statement in itself does not exist. Which means that it is possible for a person to want something very badly and not to get it. When you hear the words, "En davar ha'omed b'fnei haratzon," so it's a nice statement. It usually has some sort of truth, but it is possible that a person wants something very badly and is not going to get it. For example, why would there be things that a person doesn't get? Let's say a person wants something that contradicts God's plan of the world. Hashem has a certain plan, and you want something very, very badly. Bilam might be a good example. Bilam wants to curse very badly the Jewish people. It didn't happen. Well, he really wanted. It could be he wants to the max level, but if it goes against God's plan, it doesn't mean that he's going to follow your ratzon. It's possible that a person wants something very badly, but he's in the midst of a nisayon. He's in the midst of Hashem sending him some sort of test. So Abraham might have wanted very badly for his son to live. Be'elohim nisa et Avraham. Abraham was tested. So therefore, a person could want, but if there is a nisayon that's supposed to raise the person, he may not get what he wants. Or certainly not get it in the way or the time that he wants it. It's possible that a person did averot, and therefore, as part of his kapara, he's not going to get something. So even if he wants it very badly, it will not happen. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted very badly to go to Eretz Yisrael. He prayed 515 filot. He wanted very badly to get that. But something happened which made that not possible. A person can want something that's miraculous. And on his level, he's not deserving of open miracles. So in that case, a person may not get what he wants. So I just want to make that clear that we've been speaking about the power of Ratzon and how much it does give a person. But it does have its possible boundaries. And that statement, En davar omed b'pnei haratzon, seems to make it sound like there is no boundary. En davar. That's not true. En davar means there's nothing that stands in the way of ratzon. That isn't true. God's plan and God's understanding of life and what's important and what's not and what the person needs may stand in the face of a person's ratzon. Oh, let's say, for example, another example. Let's say a person very, very badly wants to hurt somebody. He has a ratzon like you never saw for a person to get hurt. And in Shamayim, they don't have that plan for that person getting hurt. So no matter how much you want to hurt him, it's not going to happen if that's not what Shamayim has decreed. Okay, let's go back to our question. How does a person develop ratzon for the important things in life? We've seen in our lives, we've seen in our history, people who have had tremendous ratzon. Is a very famous story about what became a great man, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos. Hazal tell us that this young man, Eliezer, was working for his father, was a very wealthy man. His father's name was Hurkanos. And one day his father sees that he's crying. His father tells him, why are you crying? Maybe you don't like where I put you in the business. So I'll switch. I'll put you over there. He says, no, that's not why I'm crying. He says, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying because I have a strong desire to learn Torah. And I don't want to work. I want to go learn. His father told him, you're 28 years old and you want to learn Torah. He says, get married, have children, and send them to yeshiva. So his father was against the idea. It says that for 2 weeks, he could eat, did not eat or barely ate anything. It says Eliyahu Navi came to him, to this boy, and he says to him, Ben Hurkanos, why are you crying? He tells him, I want to learn. So Eliyahu Navi told him, if you want to learn, so you have to go to Yerushalayim, to the great sage Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. He went to Yerushalayim, to Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. He told him, whose son are you? He didn't want to say. He says to him, Miyamecha. Lo lamata, lo kiriyat shema, velo tfilah, velo berkat hamazon. You never learned Shema. You never learned how to pray. You never learned berkat hamazon. He's 28 years old. He tells him no. Says Amad velimedo sheloshtan. He taught him kiriyat shema, tefillah, and berkat hamazon. And he went on to become the great sage Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos. Eliezer ben Horkanos. First of all, it's a very strange story. It would seem by reading the story that his father was against him learning. But it doesn't really sound that way, because when he asked him, he wants to learn, he told him, you're 28 years old, get married, have children, and send them to yeshiva. It's not against learning. And in fact, later on, when he came to Yerushalayim and he saw his son become a Talmid Chacham, his words were, let me read for you the words. Ashray sheyatza ze mehalatzai. He said, how fortunate I am that I had such a child. This is not a person who's anti-learning, anti-Torah. So what's going on in this story? How could it be that his own son didn't know how to read Kiryat Shema and didn't know how to say Berkat HaMazon and didn't know how to pray? What is going on in the story? So some explain beautifully that this young boy had very, 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 very little ability to learn. Surely his father tried to bring him teachers. He tried to get him tutors. But to no avail. He's the kind of kid that really had very, very little tools to learn, and even Kiryat Shema he couldn't get. He's 28 years old. He wants to learn. His father told him, what are you doing? It's not your thing. So get too late. It's not your koach. Not your mission here. So imagine the kid doesn't know how to read Kiryat Shema. And he's 28 years old. He's working. He's making parnasah. Okay. Tell him, get married, have children, and hopefully your kids marry a smart lady. Maybe from her genes they could learn. Makes sense. But in reality, something happened to this young man. He developed some sort of strong ratzon. And he wanted to learn very badly. And as we've been learning, that ratzon produced a tremendous Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos. We've seen stories like this, not just once. We've seen it throughout our history, where young people, sometimes older people, have shown a tremendous ratzon to do things that maybe were against their nature. A very famous story that took place in Europe. There's a Talmid Chacham that met an old man in the streets. He saw an old man selling some drinks or some things to make parnasah, so he bought something from him. As he bought something from him, he's talking to him about where he's from. So the old man tells him, I come from Lithuania. He says, Let me tell you a story that happened with me when I was younger. He says, when I was younger, we lived next to a family that was very, very poor. And they had a boy with a special young man, but his parents had no money to educate him. He wanted to go to yeshiva to learn, but they had no money to even pay for his ticket. He says, one day, I hear from the other side of the wall, because our homes were next door, I hear this kid crying to his parents how badly he wants to go to yeshiva. His parents' father told him, my dear son, I'd love to send you, but I don't have a dollar, I don't have money. Whatever it costs. It's hard for us to imagine the poverty in those times. So this old man says, when I heard the kid crying, he says, it broke my heart. He says, I decided that I'm going to work extra hard the next few weeks, next few months. And one way or the other, I'm going to get this kid the money. He said, I worked 3 jobs. I made a few dollars. I knocked on the door of the family. And I gave the money to the family to send this boy to yeshiva. This old man asked the rabbi. He says, I have no idea what happened to that kid. He said, maybe, you know, you're in the yeshiva world. Maybe you know his name. He says, what was his name? He says, his name, what I remember, was Aaron Cutler.
Wow.
He says, maybe you heard about him? Anything happened with him? Anything come of him? He told her, Aaron Cutler, he is the rabbi of America. From him, you have tens and tens of thousands, perhaps more, people learning Torah. He started, of course, the yeshiva in Lakewood, but many more things he was involved in. So that's a product of Ratzon. Where does a kid like that get Ratzon? Where do you get Ratzon for anything in life that is meaningful? So I think the answer to this question, I don't think there's another answer. It could be that sometimes Hashem gifts a person with Ratzon, which is, I think it's very clear. Sometimes you see on very, very young children that they have a Ratzon that doesn't make sense, meaning they're too young to develop their own Ratzon with free choice. They're not even bar mitzvah yet. Not even bat mitzvah yet. And you see a tremendous desire for kiddushah, a tremendous desire for things that clearly was given to them from the Creator. So that I can't help anybody with. If you're given that, you obviously have a very big mission, whether it's for learning Torah, whether it's for supporting Torah, whether it's for whatever God inspired you to want something, that's something that you have to be zocheh to. I don't know how that works. It definitely does work, but that's not something we could learn about, because if you have it, just know you have a tremendous responsibility. But as far as a person making their own ratzon, I'm lazy. I don't have a ratzon to be zealous. I don't have a ratzon to learn. I don't have a ratzon to give charity. I don't have a ratzon to help people. I just don't. I could do it. I do it. But I don't have the ratzon. How am I supposed to get ratzon for things that I currently don't have a ratzon to do? That is an important question. The Midrash says, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elohecha. Hasuk we say every day. Says the Midrash, how do you love Hashem? What do you do to love Hashem? Which means that love alone can be misleading, and there has to be an outcome of that love. Just like if a person loves somebody and they don't talk to them and they don't do anything for them, so that shows their love is not real. So love has to come out. So the Midrash is asking, how do I know if you love Hashem? So says the Midrash that one of the ways, I don't know if it's the only way, but one of the ways, says the Midrash, was actually the Gemara in Yoma. Sheyehe Shem Shamayim mitahev al yadecho. That if you are a person that causes others to love Hashem, then you love Hashem. If people are loving Hashem through you, then you must love Hashem. Says the Braita, Sheyehe kore veshone umshamesh talmidei hachamim, which means you should learn. Veyeh masao matano benachat im habriyot, that he deals with people in a proper, pleasant way. Ma habriyot omrot ala. What do people say about such a person? They say, Ashrei Aviv, fortunate is his father. Shelimedo Torah, that he taught in Torah. Ashrei Rabo, shelimedo Torah, fortunate is his rabbi, his mentor, that he taught in Torah. This Midrash, or this Braita, is saying that when you cause others to love Hashem, you're fulfilling ve'ahavta et Hashem Eloka. How are you getting them to love Hashem? What did you do to get them to love Hashem? Did you go out and speak in public? Did you inspire them with your words? What did you do to get others to love Hashem? How did you do that? Yes. Ve'ahavta is fulfilled by getting others to love God. But what have you done to get them to love God? If you read this Braita, you'll see that actually you didn't do anything. You did not go out there to get them to love God. Rather, by being around you, by watching you, by seeing what you do and how you do it, they fell in love with what you look like. And therefore, they developed an ahava for that as well. Which means that a person is affected tremendously by the people that they're around. And if you tell me, I don't have ratzon to do something, but I would love to have the ratzon, I just don't have it. So what we could tell this person is very simple. You have to find people who do have a ratzon, and you have to be in their environment. You don't have a ratzon to learn Torah? Spend time with people who have a love for learning Torah. It's only a matter of time when your ratzon will become like their ratzon. That's probably what happened to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. At some point, he must have seen someone, I mean, he's 28 years old. So it's not like he was born with it, because you see, he didn't learn even Kiryat Shema. Something happened at the age of 28. Maybe it happened at 27, maybe at 26. Something happened when he developed this Ratzon. So you see, Ratzon develops. Anything that you don't desire, it's up to you to desire it. You can desire the learning of Torah if you put yourself with the people who desire. You want to be a charitable person, but you find yourself very, very, very cheap. You have a hard time giving money. Surround yourself with people who are giving money. Put yourself in their circles, and you'll develop a ratzon to also want to give. You desire to be a more modest person. Situate yourself with modest people, and you will want that as well. Whatever it is that a person doesn't have ratzon for, they can create it. Not by learning. Surely learning books can help you want the ratzon. There are people who have ratzon, and there are people who want to have ratzon. By learning, you can want to have ratzon. But to actually get the ratzon, usually it happens through interaction with others. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Holech et hachamim yahkam. The person who walks with the wise man will become a wise man, which is very surprising. Because if you want to become wise, you need to learn from the wise man. But here it says you have to walk with the wise man. What does walking with the wise man do for you? He didn't teach you anything. It doesn't say he even spoke to you. So what is walking with the wise man? How does that make you wise? It's impossible. But according to what we're learning, it's spot on. Because walking with the wise man gives you the ratzon to be wise. And that makes you a wise person. Spending time with the right people in life, when it comes to developing ratzon, is almost everything. The pasuk says in Mishle, Mikol mishmar netzor libecha, ki mimenu totzeot hayim. Shlomo HaMelech says, watch your mind. Watch what you allow your mind to hear and to see. Watch your environment. Ki mimenu totzeot hayim. Because the results of life will come from your environment. If you're around people that all they think about is money, then all your ratzon will be about money. If you're around people that all they're trying to do is impress others with the way they dress, your ratzon is going to be that. If you're around people that all they do is talk about brand names and the next item that they bought, then that will become your ratzon. And you'll say, what do you mean? I love that. Someone tells you, why'd you buy that bag for? For what reason do you need to wear that shoe? And they'll say, because I love it. Because I want it. And they're right. They're basically saying, I'm not trying to copy anybody. I really want it. That's what I like. It's my ratzon. I drive that car Because it's my ratzon. It's what I like. I'm not following anybody. I really enjoy this. And the truth is, they're right. It's true. It is their ratzon. But the question is, where did you get it from? Where did you get your ratzon for this? And the answer is because you spent your time and you spend your life around such people. So while you might think it's something you were born with, that's what you really mean to say. What do you want from me? That's what I like. As if that's how God made me. He made me like these things. What should I do if I like something? Something wrong? To do something that I like? That's what they mean to say. As if it was something they were born with and God-given, and therefore this is their road to the way they have to live life. Oh, you don't like that, but I like it. But in reality, that isn't true. What is true is that you developed that ratzon, it became you because of the environment that you either grew up in or that you allowed yourself to be a part of. In some circles, you develop a ratzon to drink and to smoke and to gamble. That's what I want. That's what I like. What should I do? Why do you like that? Where did you develop that ratzon? Holech et hachamim yahkam. That Hashem puts you in a home that has all the right ratzon. Sometimes you're fortunate to be with friends that have all the right ratzon. But sometimes people aren't so fortunate. Maybe their homes are not those homes. But God chose that home for you. He knows where He put you. Sometimes you grow up with friends that are not so great. Not accidental. You're a little kid, you didn't choose it. That's the environment you were put in. God knows where He put you. No, there's a halakha in the halachot of Berit Milah. It's very relevant to many things in life. Halakha says that when a baby is born, on the eighth day, his father is obligated to do the mitzvah of Brit Milah on his son. If he can't do it, he appoints a mohel to do it. If it's not 8 days, it could be 30 days, it could be whenever the kid's ready. Now that's a mitzvah that's really a mitzvah of the kid, the Brit Milah is on his body. But the father is the one who does it. Now what happens if a boy grows up and his father didn't do it? What does he say? Well, it's not my fault. Every normal kid, their father does a Brit Milah. My father didn't. If he didn't do it, so it's done. It's just the way I grew up. What can I do? Halakha says, no. If your father didn't do it, you have to do it. And if you don't do it, there's a very grave punishment for that. That's a halakha in life. It's not just a halakha in Brit Milah. Yes, a father is obligated not only in Brit Milah, he's obligated to do all the right things for his children. He's obligated to develop that they should have great ratzon. He's obligated to put them in the most beautiful environment. It's all the father's obligation. But what happens when you grow up and you say, well, my father didn't do that. He didn't put me in the right school. He didn't put me with the right people. He didn't act the right way. For now what? For now says, now what? Now it's your responsibility. In fact, I put you in that upbringing so that you can develop it yourself. That was your mission. It's not accidental. Hashem knows where he put you. Developing Ratzon would be the greatest gift a father and mother can give their children by being examples, like we learned on Friday, by having Ratzon for their children, by surrounding them with all the right people and all the right situations. That would be the greatest gift you can give your children. But in the absence of such a gift, every person must seek their own Ratzon and must find the way to develop it. There's no greater thing you could do for yourself than to surround yourself with the people that have what you want. And there's no worse indictment for yourself than to surround yourself with people who don't do what they're supposed to be doing. Because you will become that. And you will blame it on your God-given wants, that this is what you want and this is what you desire. One has to be very careful. That's why Shlomo, David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, when he opens up Sefer Tehillim, it's a book of song, a book of praise. He opens up with some musar, which is really surprising. He really should open up musar to the book of Mishlei or the book of Kohelet. But the book of Tehillim should open up with Hallelujah. Praise Hashem. Tehillah le David. Ma'ashiv l'Hashem. All the beautiful words of song and praise. But the first chapter of Tehillim is Musar. Seemingly not befitting a book of Tehillim. It's the wrong book. Nothing wrong with Musar, but you know, you have to put things in the right place. He says, Ashrei Ha'ish, fortunate is the man. Ashrei Ha'ish, says David HaMelech, fortunate is the man, Asher lo halach ba'asat resha'im, who doesn't follow the counsel of the wicked. You ever see a person who decides to follow the counsel of the wicked? You ever see a person say, you know what, that's a rasha. I can't wait to hear advice from him. I can't wait to learn from him. He's such a rasha. I need to know all his chokhmah. How did he become such a rasha? You think anybody ever did that in life? That they saw a rasha and they said, I need to sit with him. What does that mean? Lo halach ba'asad rasha'in. Lo halach, it says. Lo halach means he realizes that being in the area of people who are wanting and doing the wrong things is called getting advice from them. If you spend your time with those people, it's called you're getting advice from them. Of course, that's not what you're doing. You're just having a good time. You're just spending time with people that you know because you grew up with them. They're your buddies. They're your friends. But says Shalom, David HaMelech, no. You are sitting there and getting advice. You're halach. You're going. You think you're just moving along with them. You just happen to be in their circles. No. You're halach ba'asad resha'im. You're walking and you're learning. They're advising you. Unbelievable. What does that have to do with Sefer Tehillim? Fortunate is the person who doesn't spend time with Rasha'im so that they don't become his advisors. You know, this pasuk is the makkah of our society today. If there's one makah, if there's one plague in society in general, including the Jewish people, it's this one right here. If someone would listen to this first, not even pasuk, the first half of the pasuk, it solved many of their problems. There'll be no drug addicts in this community. There'd be no gamblers in this community. There'd be no very, very, very little issues in this community. The world would be a much better place. But people don't realize that when they follow a Hollywood star, when they idolize an athlete, when they look up to a person who sings, when they look up to a wealthy person because he's wealthy, and they follow and they look up, and when you spend your thoughts and your time with people, you become their student. So they're teaching you what to like. They're teaching you what to do. They're teaching you what your ratzon should be. And now, of course, you're going to say, no, no, that's what I want. But you're a student without even realizing. You go to school and say, I don't want to be a student. I don't learn from nobody. Me, I don't learn from nobody. I have my own mind. No one's going to teach me because I know what I know. And you're the biggest student of all the lowlifes in the world. You sit there like a good boy listening to what they're doing and what they're saying, and you become a student of theirs. Ashrei ha'ish, says Shlomo David HaMelech. Fortunate is the man that knows that walking in the area of Resha'im means you're asking them advice. That's why now you love this and you love that. You love to go here and you love to do that and you love to buy that and you're impressed by this and you love that. And you say, what do you mean? I love it. What do you want? I love it. Who taught you that? Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzat resha'im. Fortunate is the guy who knows that when you halach, when you're just walking with the people, you're becoming their student, you're learning advice from them, they become your advisor, they teach you what's important, they develop your ratzon. Says David HaMelech, I wrote a book of Tehillim, a book of song, a book of simha, a book of all the important things of life, of bitahon, a book of Menuhat HaNefesh. But you're wasting your time if you're going to read past this line. All the books in the world aren't going to help you if you are a student of the Resha'im. All the advice I can give you, all the happiness, all the songs I can give you, not going to help you because you already failed. You're out. If you're Olech Ba'atzat Resha'im, put down the book. Not going to help you because you're a student already. And that kind of student can never have the ratzon for things that I'm sharing with you. This is how a person develops ratzon. It's in our hands. It may be difficult at first because the people that you were around for 50 years, whether they're with you physically or electronically, or in your brain or in your magazine or in your who knows where. So you gotta get rid of them. There's no bigger change that a person could do for himself in life. There's no bigger teshuvah than a person who puts away all these people, take every magazine and burn it. Make sure you get off every social media that has anything to do with these people. Make sure you never hear again where they are and what they're doing. And disassociate from such people. By the way, something amazing will happen to you. Within a year or so, you will look back at your old days and you might get sick from yourself. That you actually used to think that these people were important. Not yet, not in the beginning. But as you clear your brain and you become a healthy person, you look at yourself, say, what was I doing for 20 years? Who was I following? What was I thinking? Look at these people. These are the people. Once you clean your mind, you will look back and you will be so disappointed with the years that passed. But it's a good disappointment. It's a disappointment where you've grown past it. This is the way a person develops ratzon. Sur mera va'aseh tov. You have to remove yourself from all the bad environment that you are surrounded by, and then find people that have a ratzon for important things in life and spend your time with them. It might be a little embarrassing. Rabbi Akiva, to go to spend time in the yeshiva at the age of 40 was embarrassing. All of a sudden you come to sit with people learning, you don't know what they're doing. You have no idea what they're saying. But you just sit there. Just sit there. Even if you don't understand the word, just sit there. Just spend every night, an hour a night, just be in the Beit Midrash. You see young ladies that are doing the right things, a young lady, just join them. It's not what you want right now. It's not what you think. It's not. Just join them. Just be in the right circle. It's only a matter of time when your ratzon will become the ratzon that you actually wanted all along but couldn't find it. This is the way of a great person. If God gave you ratzon because He put you, beautiful. Matov umana'im. How beautiful that is. But for most things and most people, you have to develop it by putting yourself in the right circles to develop your own ratzon for all the important things in life.